This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Cassette tapes, printed copies, and CDs of today's service are available. Information on how to order will be given at the close of this program. We are happy you have chosen to worship with us today and every Sunday on this station.
Is our culture able to tolerate biblical Christianity? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, there are times in your word that it is extremely shocking. It was not so shocking to hear that you wanted us to love one another, and that we were to be united in that one common faith. But when we hear the words of our text today where you say that you came and there would be divisions because you came, that we have trouble understanding. So help us as we penetrate that thought and ask ourselves truly, if we are biblically followers of Jesus, can we be tolerated in our day? This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, a few weeks ago, I was asked to preach at a congregation which was celebrating its 50th anniversary. The text which I am about to read for you was the text assigned for that particular day. And here are the words of our Lord, found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. After reading those words, I wondered if there might be a more suitable or appropriate text for this particular occasion where we thought of people rejoicing over the years that they had spent together. However, the longer I studied this portion of God's Word, I concluded it was a good text for the occasion, and it was one that should be used on any Sunday as we Christians remind ourselves of Christ's church in this world. It is a text which raises a lot of questions, so let's really take a look at it. What did Jesus mean when he said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wished it were kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." Here our Savior is revealing God's plan for the redemption of the world. It was a plan that would create division among people. Not all would go along with what God was voicing here. This division would cause suffering, and it would lead the Lord Jesus to the cross. And so Jesus is about ready to get on with it, to go to the cross, to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. But then there is a part of this text that reveals what is going to happen to those of us who are followers. Would we experience the same division? And would we also go through some suffering? What could happen even in an institution so close to us as our own family? Now, this is what had happened in Jewish families of Jesus' day. Some of them followed Jesus, and others of them rejected him. And it was division. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It was a divided family. It happened. It happens now. Jesus' words are sometimes very repulsive to our culture. Now, this is not so new. It has always been true. But what did Jesus mean by this? Was it not he who also said at one particular time, "Father, I pray that they may be one even as we are one"? That was a part of his high priestly prayer. On other occasions, he said that we who bear the name of Christians should experience a great oneness, a great unity. And now he's calling for division. The meaning of the contradiction, praying for unity, is quite easily understood. At that particular time, he is praying for his church, for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus. And there is one great concern that he has, that they might be united, one in Christ, moving on into this world with the gospel of salvation. But he also wanted them to realize that when they, the believers, stepped out into the world, they would experience division. For the world was and is hostile to Christ and those who are his committed followers. Jesus' teaching, friend, Jesus' biblical teaching was repulsive for the natural man. And to a greater degree today, that is also true. What I'd like to do in this sermon is take you through some of Jesus' statements that we know quite well and ask ourselves, well, how does society handle this thing? What is it going to be like when we really apply the teachings of the Christian faith to our daily life? Well, for example, let's begin with John 3:16. Here our Lord says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? And most people just listening to it, remembering it from the time that they were a child, would say, "Oh, I love that word." But then you begin to examine it, and some have chopped it all up. They have said, well, the first part is very important. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Put the period there, and you have a universalism that God is going to bring all people into the kingdom of heaven, that there is no damnation, there is no eternal death. It is only eternal life, and that is what our Lord has provided for us. But that is not what the Bible says. He says he came into this world to suffer and to die for its sins, and those who would confess their sin and receive him as Savior and Lord, they were the ones who would be saved. Note again the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," no period, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that reveals to us that because of their own will, they rejected Jesus Christ, and therefore they were still in their sins, and God could not receive them. Now you try this on to your friends, and try to say to them, it is only if you are in Christ Jesus that you have the assurance of your salvation, and see what their reaction is. The average person that I talk to in the church sometimes and always outside the church will say, "I believe that if there is such a thing as a life after death, all of us are going to be there. You will never convince me that my father, who died as a complete unbeliever, will not be in the kingdom of heaven. That's repulsive." And you say, "Well, I'm sorry. I loved your father. He was a dear man. And I'm sure you must have grieved terribly when he died. But if he died outside of Jesus Christ, he is lost." And suddenly the dividing wall goes up. The relationship is hurt. We'll always have that in the background. Oh, we might get together, socialize, even go on a vacation together. But the person whom you have offended by the teaching of Jesus, that one, friend, will have something that divides you from him. Let's take another one we talk about more often, perhaps. It's that passage of Scripture that "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In other words, Christ is the only way to heaven. That is not a popular teaching in our day. Many ways to heaven is what they want the Word of God to say. And so those people who have come into our community from countries where it is not Christian, but rather it is Muslim, for them there is a way to heaven also. God would not be that narrow-minded. But who uttered these words? It wasn't even one of the apostles. It was Jesus Christ himself. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And our day would say that is a height of bigotry. And it would be a division. Oh, he's kind of a religious fanatic. We used to enjoy him quite a bit, but he was so offensive to my daughter. My daughter-in-law, the one who happens to be of the Jewish persuasion. I believe that even though she rejects Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there is a way there for her too. And there is. But Jew or Gentile, male or female, can only come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. On another time, Jesus uttered these words, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." That is, Jesus is God. On another occasion, he said, "I and the Father are one." And throughout his whole ministry, after he was 30 years of age, it was Jesus who was saying, "I am God." That's what really disturbed the people in his hometown of Nazareth. And that's what disturbs the people in our hometown today. It is good to say that he was a great teacher, that he was a great religious leader. But when you begin to toy around with this idea that Jesus Christ is God, then you have something else. Not a teacher, not a man only, but God. God who came into this world and formed himself in the way of a man, the incarnation, walking among us for all of those years, performing his ministry for 3 years. He is God. And the world says no. And no one is a division. And this is not just for people who happen to belong to a Unitarian church. This is often found sometimes within those who have come in, and I don't know how, to our Christian churches. Jesus is God. In other words, he sets up a division. Then you remember the day that he came down to the well, and he asked the woman there for a drink of water, and she had a little argument with him that he, a Jew, would ask a Samaritan for water, and he, a male, would ask a woman for water, even talk to her. And they got into that debate, and finally she began to ask him some questions, and Jesus said, "I'll be glad to dialogue with you, but go get your husband." And she said, I don't have a husband." And he looked at her and he said, "You are so right. You have had 5 husbands, and the man that you are living with now is not your husband." In other words, he was telling her right then and there, cohabitation is sin. Does our culture like to accept that? No, of course not. If you love him or her, go ahead. Go ahead and live together. And when they hear that the Bible says that any sexual intimacy is lust and not love, there is a division, and the cries will come out, "Do you really still believe that? You certainly are living in the old age. That just is not applicable today. It isn't practical the way we live, and the means of birth control that we have and all the rest." You see, Jesus right away sets up a division. And they say, regarding you and me who take a position that sex is limited to the married state, we can't really let our hair down with them. And one more. Jesus one day said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." While he's trying to make a weakling out of us, the friend will say. He is saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." When it gets right down to it, friend, without Jesus, we can do nothing. And the world doesn't like to hear that. No. You're taking something out of the person's life. You can't operate that way. It can't be so. And there's a division right away. Now, what is the temptation of the church at that particular time? Well, you read these passages on divisions in the family or divisions in society, and some in the church, sometimes leaders, get all upset. What are we going to do? Are we going to split the church? As if that would be so bad. You've got to learn to give a little and take a little and shut your eyes and look the other way. You try to change the message. You try to compromise it. You try to treat it lightly. You try to give it a new interpretation, a new wrinkle altogether. Going to do that to keep the congregation together, the denomination together. And all the time we are denying that inspired word that God has given to us, and it will divide, but divide it must if we're going to keep its truth and its purity. It's a serious time. Can the church really exist in this world today? You bet it can, but it will not have an easy time. Bishop Ryle once said, "How useless it is to expect universal peace and harmony from the preaching of the gospel. Thousands of well-meaning people nowadays are crying out for more unity among Christians. To attain this, they are ready to sacrifice almost anything that they might secure peace. Peace is useless if purchased at the price of conviction. Peace is worthless if it demands that we be unfaithful to our Lord. Yes, there will be divisions, the Christian and the non-Christian. That was the way from the beginning, and that will be the way to the end. Amen."
We are opening each
Father, we love to be accepted as a part of the crowd. And that, yet this word has taught us that Christ's teachings can be very upsetting to unbelievers. They put labels on us and call us bigots and prejudiced and unkind. Help us at that time that we may not deny the truths that have come from you, truths that you have taught us, but in love. Grant, O God, that we may turn to our unbelieving friends or relatives and kindly say how much more life can be with Christ than without him. That word has answers to problems that are otherwise unsolvable. We place ourselves in your hands, Holy Spirit, and pray that we may not be afraid of the divisions. If we are united with you and with your church, and that we may move together for the goodness of your kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for his provision and pray that you have been spiritually nourished by the message today. Christian Crusaders' first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936. To help celebrate our anniversary, Christian Crusaders is excited to offer Basic Biblical Truths, a set of five gospel-centered messages by Reverend Homer Larson on DVD. These 20-minute video programs are ideal for church pulpit supply, group and individual Bible studies. They are available by request with a suggested donation of $10 per program. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the gifts from you, our listeners. In September, many of you give an anniversary gift of $71, $1 for each year of our ministry. We thank you for your gifts of any size and your prayers for our program. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.